3, 2, 1.
What's good, everybody? My name is Milton Craig Spence.
And America Richardson.
That's right. And we are coming to you live here from my backyard. I'm joking. I'm in my backyard. And America, she said she's upstairs. So we coming to you from a different location. Okay, these days. You have to make adjustments in your life based upon what's going on. So that's what we are doing. Now, when it comes down to this week, we are chopping it off with week 30. Week 30. The title of that week is To Reflect on the Journey. Join us as we take a look back and we celebrate our progress. Now, this is going to be a very good episode, so buckle up. Tie yourself down, get some popcorn, water, juice, whatever you need in order to sit your butt down, okay? Sit on down and give us an opportunity to speak with you and share the word and also share our own journeys with you. And as I turn it over to my co-host, America.
Hey, hey, I'm super excited to be back because I feel like I've been off forever. So I'm glad to be back. And there is a lot to celebrate. Like, there's a lot going on to not only be thankful for, but just a lot to just be like, wow, you grew. I'm so proud of you. So I'm sharing my journey for sure. And this might get a little deep because, y'all, it's a lot of stuff going on. But in being real, I was having a little frustration with church. And if y'all were a part of the episodes 1 through 5, I shared some of my church frustrations where I just wanted to see a pour out of the Spirit. Like, I want to see the Spirit fall in a way that I haven't seen in a long time. And throughout these last few weeks, and it's been quite a few weeks that I've been with y'all on this podcast, God has really done a work within me to look at the areas of my life where I am hindering the Spirit to flow. And it's a beautiful thing and a painful thing when we have to take a look at ourselves and go, something ain't right. Something ain't all the way there. We were having a conversation on a podcast and I was reflecting back, because that's what this episode is about. And Milton said to me afterwards, like, you know, what you're going through is spiritual and you need to really look at what's happening around the situation and how to fight back. And so that was my prayer. My prayer was, Lord, illuminate this in my life. Show me the area that I have allowed the enemy to creep in and let me begin to chip it away so that he doesn't have a foothold within my heart and my life. And can I just be real, Milton? Can I be real? Can I just?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
We go in. Go in.
I'm tired of doing church. Like, I'm tired of just going to church just to go and say, I checked the box as a Christian. I checked the box. I did worship this week. Like, I was just tired of seeing people come, not being healed, not being set free, not being delivered, but still leaving with the same mess, picking it back up and walking home with it. So that was my frustration. Like, what am I not doing as a member of the body of Christ to force change? Like, because the Bible says we have authority over principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, right? So I had to take some of the blame because I wasn't speaking up in a way that was productive, in a way that was pushing the mark forward. And I had to take that blame because I was not willing to put my life on the line per se to see change. We say we want all these things, but are we willing to really lay ourselves on the battlefield and possibly face, you know, the arrows and the darts to come at you for speaking God's truth? So I did this week for sure. You all right? Okay. I did this week for sure. Make sure that I speak my mind, say my truth. And it's been happening over the past few weeks, and I haven't been on to share, but I'm thankful that I had a moment to reflect because God is good. And this week we saw the Spirit fall, and it wasn't anything that I did differently, far as, you know, I'm not gonna say that I'm the one, I'm the cause, I'm not puffing myself up. What I'm saying is I realize that I'm being a hindrance if I'm not following the Spirit of God. I'm a hindrance if I'm not doing what God says do. If he's telling you, if he's speaking to you and telling you what you should be doing and you don't do it, you are a hindrance. So I want to encourage those that have listened to all of the weeks that we have talked about, you know, walking this walk and going through on their journey and removing things out of their life that they don't want and moving forward in wholeness, you know, going through all these different episodes, act. Now is the time to act, because God is waiting for you to pick up that call and say, I'm ready. I'll do whatever you need me to do. And I'll stop there because I feel like I've shared a lot. Hopefully I went deep enough. But if you have good, a question about good. What I said, or does it make sense so far?
Of course it makes sense. I mean, for me, it's one of those things I peeped a long time ago when I was roughly about 17 years old. You know, the Holy Spirit had showed me something about church that, you know, I felt like I caught on to very, very soon, very early, excuse me, where it was like, there's a dynamic here that will never, ever go anywhere as long as people continue to play. You know, like these people don't really understand how serious this is. Like, it's a serious allegation to go to church and play around. It's like the Bible says, the word talks about it, where it says that what good is it for you to read the word if you turn away from it and don't live it out. Right. Like, you got to live out the word of God. And if you don't live it out, it's just as good as a man who looks at his reflection and turns around and forgets exactly what he looks like. Like, so what good was it to look in the mirror, to do your hair and stuff, if you turn right back around and just went and threw your hair under some water? It was no good. Like, you're not living out the word and you're not actually being a Christian. I know some people like to talk about the factor of I'm a Christ follower. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm like, that's great, you know, to say that you are. But this is an action thing. This ain't about talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at Christ's life, like, OK, if we really want to boil it down, the narrator of the stories, right, spent a lot of time talking about what was happening in the surrounding area. But when it came down to it, the fact is Christ's words are not as vast in the Bible as the rest of the Bible's words are. You got what I'm saying? Like, when we look at how much Christ actually spoke, bro, his life was full of action. So if you look at it, he didn't spend his life trying to go out and prove things by just speech. He's like, I'm gonna just show you. Even when he healed people, it wasn't a lot of words to it. It was an action. I'm going to heal you in action. I'm not just going to heal you based upon the fact that, oh, you know, let me just talk to you and sit down. Let's go to counseling. That's a human thing. That's because with us as people, like, we have this thing where we have a finite viewership of our life. We have a finite viewership of our mind. We have a finite viewership of our hearts and everything, because we believe that there is an endpoint to it all, instead of realizing that your life here is just a transport into the next one. Right. You were sent here for a reason, to be transported to the next one. And what you do here decides on where you go. But everybody, every single person, even Satan himself, started off in heaven. So you gotta dang gonna make your choices, right? So he's like, all right, I'm not gonna send these people down here blind, because that's what I did before. I didn't send my son before to give people a way to view things. I'm gonna give them the Ten Commandments. Oh crap, that didn't work. I'm gonna show them this. That didn't work. I'm gonna do a flood. That didn't work. I'm gonna do this. Didn't work. Like, at some point, okay, I'm gonna give you Christ. And it's like, this is the elixir right here. This is the ultimate thing. I'm gonna show everybody through this one person how to do this thing we call earth, how to do this thing we call life. I'm going to give him this one person. He's going to show him, and everybody follow that. And as long as you follow that, this world will be just fine. But when you don't, I think a lot of people forget this thing, America, where they don't see that the earth itself is 8 billion, or they say 7 billion years old. So if the earth itself is 7 billion years old, or 8 billion years old, based upon the factor of some science or whatever, that may be wrong, right? But if it's that old, then okay, 8 billion years. How old are you? You know what I'm saying? I definitely know we aren't 8 billion years old. So if God already set a blueprint for it, why are we trying to reinvent the quote unquote earth or reinvent the wheel? Also not understanding that, oh my gosh, you're destroying the ozone layer. If you thought you had that much power over God to destroy something that he created, oh my Lord, may God be with you. Because that is foolish thoughts. So when it comes down to it, the reason why a lot of people do play church to America is because in church, the greatest thing that can happen, or the greatest disservice that can happen to Christians, is the factor of the misnomer that the information must be brought in such a way that it's not offensive or PC in the factor of church. Like, I gotta say it this way. Mm-hmm. I gotta speak this way. I gotta hold myself this way because, you know, the church set the rules and this and that. And I'm like, okay. Literally, Jesus has given us in Revelations, this is how I'm coming back. Straight up, sword, shield, I'm coming back to fight. I came here to separate households. Like, this is this is what Christ said. I came to part the seas of play and real. I came to lift the veil. I came to fight for your sins, win for you, so you don't have to die because of them. But I also want you to keep it real with one another. Stop the game, stop the play. You know, and I know I'm on a tangent, but it's like, stop the game, stop the play, come to each other. But I think this ties into the factor of journey too, because if you've reached a point now, and I'm speaking on my journey, because I was 17, you know what I'm saying? I'm a pastor's kid. So my dad was one of those pastors where he kept it 100% real. Why? Because he was a street guy prior to jumping in the pulpit. Right. So he kept it real. He didn't cuss up in the pulpit and do all this crazy stuff. Right. But he didn't shy away from saying what stuff actually was or what it actually is. You know what I'm saying? If it's a demon, it's a demon, y'all. And not, and I'm going to say this to, like, tailor off that. Everything's not a demon. Like, some stuff is just you. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything ain't a spirit. Some stuff is just you, you know. And if you're opening to the doors to idiosyncrasies of your brain and don't allow yourself to really think, then you only are holding yourself back. And I believe that speaks to your point where you talk about, you know, I feel like I'm holding myself back. Right. The Holy Spirit has shared many things with me in the sense of holding back. And I think what happens is, especially with people of Christ, right, as we get into this place where, let's say, I know you can attest to it, where you've thought about something and you stopped yourself, like, or your brain starts to, quote unquote, feel like it's expanding and you stop yourself because you don't feel it's right to think that way. Well, let me stump myself from this thought or hold myself back from this thought because I don't feel like I should be thinking that the whole time. Sometimes you have to sit with those thoughts, even if it seems weird or even if it seems, you know, evil. And even if it is evil, and this is going to sound crazy, but a lot of time the thought comes to you so that you can literally take it to God. Your freedom is in the fact that you actually are honest about the thought that you have. Not that you have the thought and cut it off. It's go take that thought to God and say, Lord, I'm thinking about this, whatever that this is. I'm thinking about this. And, you know, I know that doesn't align with your word. So I know that because it's in my head, I know that it's something trying to influence me away from you. I need you to take care of this thought and speak on it because that helps your journey. That helps you become a better person. That helps you become more ingrained and ingratiated with your relationship with God. A lot of people are missing out on that because they're so busy trying to be buttoned up and perfect that they just really look like a whole bunch of clothed mess. Like, there's no perfection here. There's a striving for perfection, and hence the word is to strive. And if you've ever striven for anything, you know for a fact you strive for that thing, you get it, and there's always something else to attain. You strive, I strive, I strive, I strive. So when you strive for that perfection in God, you will realize that by the day you pass away, right, you will have lived a full life for sure if you continue to do it. But you also realize that, you know, what you strive for was to fulfill your purpose. And if you did that, that is the quote unquote, the end goal, that is to perfection. And if you don't do that, then you have only fallen short, which we all do each day. So I could go deep, quote unquote, right? But it's what it is. It's a conglomerate of ideas, that happened at one time. So, yeah. Yeah. All right.
No, that was, yes. Thank you. The Bible talks about the 10 virgins, and I've been speaking on this with some of the youth groups, trying to help them understand just different principles about the wise and the foolish. And I think about that now as I'm like, I've been teaching them this, but oh my gosh, this applies to the scenario as we're talking about reflection. You know, we have to be wise in Christ. We have to do things, Milton always says, with intentionality, like making sure that we're choosing things God's way. And why they were wise, why the five were wise, was because they were intentional about how they were going to get to the destination and what things they needed in order to finish and complete. And it's the same thing with our walk with Christ. We have to be intentional about what tools we need to carry with us, what tools need to be in our arsenal, what tools even need to be packed for the day, for that journey. We have to know when it's God speaking and when it's not God speaking. So I'm going to flip over to the situation. I'm going to go a little deeper. And if somebody sees this, they just see it. It is what it is. I was hearing the Lord. I was hearing the Holy Spirit speak to me during service, and he was telling me not to do a song that we rehearsed. Like literally, like I'm hearing no. And I'm in the middle of leading praise and worship, and I start singing the song that we rehearsed, and I'm hearing it so clear, like, stop. And I was like, okay. And then I begin to hear a song that I heard when I was a young child. Now I'm telling you, I'm leading in front of people hearing this, and this is happening. And I'm just like, Father, I need you to help me because I need to know this is your voice. I need to know that you are telling me this. And before I had walked out, I had heard the same thing that I heard before I got on stage. And I said, Lord, I don't know what this is, but I need you right now to take over my mind and my heart and my emotions. And I only want to hear your voice. Anything that is not like you, I remove it right now. I speak to it and I tell it to flee. And I just want you. And when I got up there, again, that voice was so strong. So standing there, I'm gonna set the scene. People are looking at me in the audience. The entire worship team is looking at me like, what are you stopping for? What are you doing? And I begin to lead them in a different song. And I'm going to be honest with you, the musician and everything, it did not go well. It did not go well. And I could hear the enemy so quickly, like, see, this is why you need to make sure you're listening to the Holy Spirit. See what you did. See, you weren't hearing by the Spirit. But I'm like, Lord, I know that was your voice. I know you. And it was funny that even though the outcome that I didn't, that I expected didn't happen, worship still came through. And I continued that song and went into another song that we had. And it was just like, I felt completely unlocked. Like I was in a whole different dimension. And I was just, I didn't care anybody was looking at me. I didn't care what was going on. I just began to worship. And so then everything ended. And I was just like thinking like, oh Lord, what did I do? What happened here? And it wasn't until a few days later, a lady that was watching online reached out to me and she said, I just want to say thank you for allowing the Spirit to lead you, because I haven't seen that in a while. You know, everything is, we do it this way. It has to be this way, this selection, this time for this program, but stopping it and saying, Lord, what would you have me to sing? What would you have me to do today? Just unlock something within me. And then now I am seeing that within others where it doesn't even need to be said. The Spirit is just flowing lately. And it's like a whole different walking into a new service. And we have to be obedient, y'all. Like I'm gonna back that up. Like we have to be obedient. I am so grateful, even in the moment that it didn't feel good. And even when the enemy tried to make me feel bad about it, I'm so grateful that I listened to the voice of God and followed his leading, because God, he will use you. You know, you might not think so, but he will. And seeing people now walk in freedom and walking out of religion, but walking into the freedom to hear and do as the Spirit says, that to me is the dream come true. That is the beauty of what the church is supposed to be, that we're in the body together in unity, giving him all glory, all worship, all honor, but also being transformed within ourselves to hear the Spirit a little more clearly each day, so that we become so close to Him that we truly know Him. As we were saying earlier about doing church as per usual, the reason church has to be different, you guys, is because we are fighting different principalities. Like, they're coming with a different strategy. The strategy has changed. And if we keep doing things the way it always used to be, we're not getting anywhere. And I'm going back to those 10 versions. Why they were foolish, the five foolish, was because they were just doing things the way it was always done. They weren't changing. They weren't adjusting. They weren't carrying the right tools because they didn't feel like they needed to make any changes. We have to be diligent, because He's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It is not a joke. And when He's coming back, we need to be ready. So I'm going to digress there. But I am thankful to hear that the Spirit is flowing and moving forward. And I hope that some of you listeners will share how the Spirit has been moving in your life. Since we're talking about reflecting, we would love to hear that from you as well. Milton, turning it back over to you.
Yeah. So when we talk about the reflection of the Holy Spirit, or the transition of following, right? I know for a fact a challenge for most people will be to know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. So I'm not here to damn you and tell you that, you know, the Bible says the sheep shall know my voice. Yes, that's very true. But the Word also talks about cultivating relationship with God. The Word also talks about building yourself up. The Word also talks about being endowed with the Holy Spirit. So to be endowed with the Holy Spirit means to be pushed into, or to have it cultivated or be birthed into you, right? So I've always let other people know and say, if you don't know you're hearing from God, then go to God and ask Him, are you endowed with the Holy Spirit? And if you ask Him and you don't get an answer, then ask Him to endow you with the Holy Spirit and continue to answer until you hear from God and you know for a fact it's Him. Always seek after it. Don't get discouraged. It's kind of like a football season, right? I mean, heck, we ain't win every game, but doggone it, if we lost, hey, sometimes we had another game to play and sometimes we didn't. It all depends. The goal is to keep progressing and becoming the best. It's just like what I told my daughter today. Her and my son, they've been playing these little games together and whatever, and she was losing. And I wouldn't step in and help her, because I'm like, you have to learn how to lose just as well as winning. And I said, I call myself dad to my kids. That's what they call me. I said, dad doesn't always win. And that's okay. I said, the goal is to get better so that you can win, but also to continue to strive to be better, regardless if you're quote unquote the best. I said, you may be better than this person, but that doesn't mean you're the absolute best. And it's okay to lose. Like, losing is a part of winning as well. You have to lose and win and all these things. I said, every winner I've ever known in my life has lost in something. Right. No matter if it's in that sport or whatever they're doing, they've lost in other ways. So when it comes down to losing, it's a part of winning. When it comes down to gaining your relationship with God, it's going to feel like you don't know who's speaking to you. But the thing is, in the church, what happens is this. We go off decorum versus going off of what the Spirit is saying. We go off of what the pastor said versus what the Spirit is saying. We go off of everything except for what this orientation is. Let's be honest. And let's be humble here, because one, we didn't create the church. The church is something that God said, as where two or more gather in my name, I am in the present. That is church. That's something that Christ created. That is something that God created. So are we there in His name? Are we there for His name's sake? Are we there to listen to Him? Because if you get up there and the Holy Spirit says, don't sing this song, sing that song, then sing the song the Holy Spirit said. Don't matter how it sound, don't matter how it look, the goal is He said to do it, because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than your, it's bigger than your nerves. It's bigger than what you can think. It's better than, bigger than what you can appeal to. You never know what you're doing in that moment, but the only thing you know is that you're being obedient. The great part of that is the fact that America heard the Lord speak, right? So when she heard the Lord speak at that point, now it's like, all right, America, I'm telling you to sing this song. You've been asking me for a better relationship. You've been asking me for all of this stuff. All right, let's put it to the test. You're in front of everybody now. Everybody view you a way. They see you as a certain way. You know that. You know there's a certain way that people see you. You know this. And this is, now I want you to understand that none of that matters to me. Because it's about what I say. It's about what I say about you. It's about how I think about you. So that's why I say on some of our podcasts and some of our shows in the past, I've said, ask God how he sees you so that you can go off of that, because there's going to be people around you who are going to see all kind of things. They're going to tell you all kind of stuff about yourself and, oh, Lord, she act like, or, oh, he act like. Child, sit down. It's about what my father says. I'm not worried about what you say. I'm not worried about what he say, she say, what the dog say, the cat say. I'm worried about the fox, you know. I ain't worried about none of that. I'm worried about what God says, because at the end of the day, that's who I got to answer to. Literally, beginning and end of the day. I say end of the day a lot, but beginning, end of the day, midday, all day, that's who I have to answer to. So when it comes down to developing a relationship with God, my reflection on that is this. As a young man, when I was 17 years old, I was very promiscuous. I was out here doing a lot of stuff. I was having sex a lot, okay? A lot, okay? I had been having sex since I was 13 years old, all right? And big thing with me was the fact that I was doing all of this, but at the same time, I go to church, I raise my hands, I praise the Lord, I close my eyes, I sing the songs, I do all of that. Plain church, right? I did it all right? Everybody who saw me, who knew me, they, oh, man, Milt, he's such a... Oh, he's amazing. Oh, Milt is this. Milton, he, you know, Milton doing something bad. Like, I was like that. That's how people view me. But in the background, what was I being? A snake. I was a snake. And the crazy part about that was God called me on myself. All right. I was on the phone with my girlfriend, 17 years old. We had just finished talking on the phone, being all freaky and stuff like that. And the moment my phone, this is going to date me. The moment my hand touched the receiver. Okay, I put that cord, you know, you had that long cord so you could walk around your room. The moment I touched that phone on that receiver, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, if you don't get serious about me, everything about you, The Holy Spirit said, if you do not get serious about your relationship with God, everything you have is going to fail. Straight like that, heard the voice as clear as I'm speaking to you guys on this podcast. And the moment I heard that, my inside began to shake. There was a fear that I had felt at that moment that I can never describe how I can't like re-describe it in the way that I felt it. You get what I'm saying? Like, I literally was in that moment shaking, scared. I felt cold. I felt like I'm like this. I was scared because the voice was so clear at that point. You got what I'm saying? So at that moment, y'all, from 17 up until now, I'm a 38-year-old man. I have not dropped my Bible one day. You understand what I'm saying? Because at that moment, the Holy Spirit let me know, I'm not playing with you. You know better. You've been exposed. You've seen people have spirits released from their body. You've seen exorcisms. You've prayed. You've seen people speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. I'm not playing with you. Don't play with me. Don't play with the gift that I've given you. And you have to understand in that moment, yes, was I afraid. Hindsight being 20/20, I also am very grateful because the Lord could have let me go and he decided not to. That was love in that moment. That was love, y'all. A love that I never could see how that one moment would tailor me for this, where I'm at today. It would tailor-made specifically for Milton to take me where I'm at today, to take me where I'm going to go in the future, to take me somewhere. Because that story is forever a part of me. Forever. And it's very vivid. I can see how I sat on the side of the bed. I remember what my nightstand looked like, what my bedspread was looking like, what my headboard looked like. I can see it as clear as day. I was afraid. You hear what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit scared the bejeebus out of me. Like, I was like, oh, what? So when it comes down to the cultivation of your relationship, but when it comes down to the factor of where God wants to take you, and when it comes down to how you have a plethora of times to get it right, you have to know that God loves you, but not just that he loves you. Understand this one thing. You have an opportunity to get it right. And this is your right now. You have a moment in your life, and this is your right now. Like, don't take another step until you do this one thing. And that is turn your life over to God. Give your life to Christ, because he wants you to go and be with him. Now, I know a lot of people say, How can a God that loves his children also murder them? The question then remains at this point, how can an architect that loves what they do tear down the building? How can scientists who do this dissect a living thing? Or how can this, like, we could ask that question going back and forth. Right. And if we really dive deep in those questions, we will realize that we were created in his image. We were created in his image. And God, in his word, clearly says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He tells you, never take revenge on an enemy. Never take a revenge on anybody. Now, it's funny. We asked that question. But the same God we asked that question about is the same God who helped David win the wars. And we praise him for that. Or let's just say, if we were getting attacked right now, United States, we getting bombed, we getting tore up. What will we ask God for? Lord, help us. What you think helping us mean? Going to those people and, hey, you know, guys, please stop. No, this is war. This is casualty. This is something that God understands. 8 billion years old, y'all. So it's something he understands, and it's something we've been doing from the beginning of mankind. It's something we've been doing. So how do you, sir, ma'am, grow into your relationship that you can look back? Because there's people out there who've harmed other people. There's people out there who've thought about harming other people. There's people out there who have been harmed. Are you ready to have an honest look back at your life and praise God from where you've been? I've been held at gunpoint before. Okay, I've had a gentleman pull a gun on me. He turned it on my roommate, clicked the gun, and the gun jammed. I've had that happen before. Okay, so the Lord has saved my life many times. Many times. Many, many times. And when it comes down to God saving my life, especially in violent situations, I want everybody to understand one thing. Not only did I give myself over to God because of those situations even more, but I understood in my life at that moment that there was nothing else that was around me that would have saved me in those times unless it was God. That's it. So because of that, where I stand today, I can look back on those times and say, Lord, even though I wasn't praying, thank you for being there for me. Even though I wasn't doing, thank you for being there for me. Even though I was backsliding, thank you for being there for me. Even though I was up there, I was bumping DMX, and then I'd be like, all right, I'm going to bed. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you, Lord, for never turning your back on me. I can have joy knowing that you didn't do that. And now that makes me even more serious about my walk with God, because he was that serious about me. And I think everybody should take, you know, heed to that within their own life.
I agree. You said something earlier that kind of triggered this thought in me as well, as I was discussing just wanting to do church by the Spirit. It was never, because I recognized for a while that there was a sense of tradition and religion, but it was never, that I looked down on people or even felt, I'm trying to say this correctly, I wasn't angry at people for not following the Spirit. I was angry at the way the system is designed. Because if you don't pay attention, I'll just say me. I'll put myself, because I want to be careful how I did this. I fell into the system by not speaking my voice. Because like Nelson was saying, like, we get so inundated with doing things away for decorum. Doing the proper thing as a PK, doing the right thing and walking traditionally, that sometimes we fail to act upon the voice of God when he's speaking for you to do something. You know, there's been times when the Holy Spirit has put on my heart to pray for someone. And I'm just like, well, that wasn't you, Lord. Like, I didn't have to go up to that person. I could have in my seat prayed for them. You know what I mean? Like, we fail to sometimes follow the voice because we're just like, well, is it the proper thing? Do I have to go through the right channels? Like, do I have to make sure that I'm doing this the correct way? Like, God is the order. And the key thing that you said that I just want to like make sure we're hitting this point is that by knowing the word, by knowing the scripture, by knowing who God is, we will never be out of order. because you'll be following according to his will, his timing, his direction. So in that moment, even though it was a little out of order, unorthodox, what I did, it was his order and his design that had to be followed. And those 10 foolish virgins failed to follow the order and understand what God was trying to understand what they should have done in order to move forward. And I think at church, we get so used to, like, you know, do this way, make sure you do it that way, don't say this thing, that we don't get the opportunity to be honest about where we are with God. Like, we don't want to look a certain way to other people. We don't want to be looked down on, or I don't know, we don't want the wrong person coming up to us. We want to do things a way that we feel is comfortable. And we have to get out of that comfortability with order and religion and come into comfortable with following God's heart, because it only makes us better. Like I said, there's been a spirit to me that has been released for us to be, and when I say spirit, I mean the action of, oh, you know, there's a freedom that's released now to hear the spirit and follow his leading. And it doesn't always have to be like, at this time we pray, at this time we worship. Like, no, maybe God wants us to worship. Maybe he just wants us to come together and pray for one another. Maybe there is a change that can happen and people can leave refreshed, actually transformed. So I just want to make sure that when I say I felt a certain type of way, that y'all understand that it wasn't a judgment. It was, look, what do I need to do within myself in order for me to stop hindering the spirit from moving forward? What things about my walk and my life do I need to change? And I truly feel like if those 10 virgins were in their word and in their scripture and with walking with God, then there wouldn't have been 5 foolish virgins. The kids asked the question that was so powerful. Like, why this parable? Like, why? Kids ask the funniest things, but it's so deep when they don't even realize it. Like, what was Jesus trying to say? And I said, you know, this is the classic example of knowing the word and knowing the scripture, because in God's word, he gives us the order, even for how we're supposed to do church. He gives us the order of how we are to behave, of how we are to act, the things we are to say and not say. It's all in his word. And so I was telling the children, I said, this is the reason you have to know the scripture, because anybody, even a pastor, can get up there and say something. I can get up there and say something, and it may not line up biblically. And someone has to be able to say, that is not God. That is self, because it's easy to fall into self. And I said, even following order sometimes is self, because we're allowing ourselves to dictate instead of allowing God to dictate. So following the order of man or following the order of God. And I said, knowing the scripture is the way that you know what God's truth is. And it's the way that you know if you're walking upright or not. So I'm just piggybacking off of the part that you said, you never put that word down, because that's the way we know the way our life should be and how we're walking according to meeting the bridegroom.
You know, I don't romanticize my relationship with God whatsoever. And what I've learned is a lot of people do, because they see God as a character or caricature of these things that we say. God is love, you know, like God is love and God is all, God is light and he loves us. And yeah, like all of that is true. He does, you know, that's very true. You know, I can't take that away from God because he said it himself. He said, I love you, you know, but I don't see it as a caricature thing. What I see God as is a being that I owe the ultimate level of respect to, and the reason I owe that to that being is because that is the only being who has control of everything. So if he has control of everything, then he also has control of what happens to me, right? And what's allowed to happen based upon the decisions I make, based upon the doors I open, based upon the doors I don't open. When we talk about being open, when we talk about being free, I think we have to get out of this these conglomerate of ideas that somehow we know what it is to be free. Freedom is not something that you are given. It's something that you honestly earn. It is something that you start to understand as you go, because the more you live this life, the more you start to realize how bogged down you are with yourself. And if you don't get away from yourself, my gosh, you are only doing yourself a disservice. Like, you're already a living being. You already breathe. You already eat. You already sleep. You already do those things without thought. Like, these things don't take thought. What happens is, we be as humans, we are so finite in our thinking. And we get so adapted to church, or, you know, praying this way, or talking like, if I don't pray like him, I'm not going to get, like, God don't need you to say a bunch of elaborate stuff to pray.
Come on now.
You just pray. Just talk. If somebody laugh at you and judge you by the way you pray, then that's on them. They got to go to God with that. They ain't got to go to you. I've always let people know, what you are talking about, or what you are doing, or how you're deciding to serve, or whatever, It's boring due to the fact that it's orthodox. The unorthodox, I remember this person, this pastor said this to me back in the day. He said, you know, God is with the weird. And he said it and kind of just left me with it. And I just sat there and like marinated on that. And I was like, God is with the weird, with the weird. Yeah. So, yeah, because I do everything like straight, you know, but who's to say that the weird isn't straight? We call people mentally ill, or they have mental deficiencies, or we call them retarded because they don't operate like us. But who's to say we do it right? Who's to say? Like, how do we know Jesus didn't have a lisp? How do we know Jesus didn't have a limp? How do we know? Like, how do we know these things? How we know Jesus wasn't autistic? How we know what stuff was? We don't. Oh, how man. We know what Peter was. How we know. We don't know the mentality. We don't know the mental health. We don't know these things. What we know is that if he is walking with the Spirit of God, no matter what label homonyms or, you know, sacrilegious things that we put onto these people who follow the Lord, like, none of it matters if God says, I have a purpose for you and I want you to do this thing. So you might be that way because you need to be in order to do the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? Oh, they sung, you know, like, I remember this dude, we was in church, and this boy at my church, super tall. You need to be playing basketball. It's like forcing the fact that he need to play basketball on the boy. The boy has no interest in basketball. Like, just because he was tall, he had no interest. And he had two left feet. He wasn't built. He wasn't built to play a sport. That's not what God wanted for him. Just because his height, we put these notions. And so because we do that, over and over. And the fact is, on this podcast, right, just like how we do our podcast, there's a certain way we start it off, certain way we do it. If God ever show, do it this way next, that's the way I'm going to do it. I just do it the way God put on my heart to do it. Mm-hmm. But if he say something else, then I'll do it that way. If he change up the... Dude, I have no qualms whatsoever. There was a time when America and I had to have a conversation on when we record or what we're doing or how we're doing it, because that's what the Holy Spirit brought to me to speak to America about. And when I came to her, all she said was, you know, that's confirmation because the Holy Spirit talked to me about A, B, C, D, and E. So it's not that, let's just say if I was timid and I didn't go speak to her. Right. Because I get so caught up in the emotion of it, or, how is she going to feel if I say this, versus just going to her and her hearing in my heart, not just because, it's the way you said it, your tone of voice. It's due to the fact that I came to her and I was very direct and honest. And she could tell that I don't mean any harm by what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what the Lord has told me. It's like if your GPS said, hey, man, can you please turn left? You'd be like, so should I turn left or not? You know, should I turn left or are you going to just turn left?
That part.
You know, like, it's going to tell you, turn left here. And two lights, turn left or whatever it says, right? Like, we have to think about these things. And that was a part of my journey, too. As I look back in my life, I had a lot of my life, maybe the early years, 16, up to 16 years, I was quiet. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say a lot back to people. I let people talk to me and say things how they want to, when they want to, whatever. And I would just kind of take it, right? And just blah, blah, blah. Then I had a moment in my life, I ain't taking it no more. I started firing back off at folks, right? Like, and then it turned into, okay, I'm firing back off a little bit too much at folks. And let me find the balance. And I became quiet again. Then it came into a factor of the Holy Spirit said, just be. Stop trying to overthink. Stop trying to make yourself sound. Just be. Allow yourself to be. Allow yourself. Release yourself. Let go of yourself. You are not important here. What's important is me. It's not about you. It ain't about how you look, how you smell, how you walk, talk. It ain't about none of that. It's about me. And please, just make it about me. And if people have anything to say, then they're talking about me. And the word rings true when it says, you will go through iniquities for my name's sake. For that you shall go through tests and trials for my name's sake. He letting you know, if people slap you, they slapping me. Because I sent you. I told you. I put it in you. I gave that to you. So if they're doing that to you, it's not to you. If they yelling back at you because you shared the word of God, you have to allow them to. Because the word always says what? Turn the other cheek. So it's like the reason you're turning the other cheek because they're not doing it to you. And if you make it about yourself, you've only lost out on the ability to have the impact spiritually, mentally, physically that you could have had. If you don't go there and you don't put God in front of it, then you've lost the impact. And that's what God showed me. I remember there were times be walking on the street and the Holy Spirit just, I look at a person and I just started hearing stuff about those people in my head. I thought I was going crazy. I was like, I know all of that stuff. Like, I'm supposed to know that. And then there was a time the Holy Spirit put something in my heart to tell my best friend. Now, I'm saying best friend today, but at the time, I ain't know her from a can of paint. And I went up to her on the bus and I said, look, I don't know you and like that, but it's going to sound crazy, but God came to me and told me to tell you not to be afraid to go ahead and do what it is that you wanted to do. And the girl just started crying. Like, I'm sitting up here. If you can imagine somebody just standing in front of somebody crying and you sitting up there just staring like, all right, God, what I'm supposed to do next? Like, am I supposed to run, like walk away, shake a hand, pat her back, like help me out, you know? And she looked up at me and was like, that's confirmation because I have been battling with the next decision I needed to make if I was going to go and be a mortician or not.
Wow.
And I didn't know that girl from a can of paint. And then when we began to speak and when I heard her testimony and I met her family, I said, this is why God had me speak to you. I was supposed to meet your family. And then when I came to her house the first time, I came to her house and I spoke with her family, and we were sitting down, everybody was chopping it up, and the Holy Spirit gave me something to tell their daddy. And I was like, okay, this is about to, it's about to be tough. And I trust me, it was tough for me because at the time I was only 18. And the Holy Spirit is just talking to me like that. And I'm like, I'm 18. People ain't gonna take me serious. You feel what I'm saying? But then I had to mature into that and start to realize, like, when the Holy Spirit say, do it, do it. This podcast, Holy Spirit say, I want you to do this. I want you to go get a co-host. All right, Lord, who you want it to be? And I just prayed. Who you want it to be? America, hit me up. All right. I said, is this the one, Lord? This the one. All right, cool. Let's go. At that point, now me and God got that type of relationship. If the Lord tell me to do something, he know what I'm going to do. I'm going to just do it.
Amen.
And that's just that. And I let him handle the rest because he is utilizing me as a catalyst to do what he wants to do here. And I'm just open to it being done. But let me explain something real quick and I'm going to turn it over. The notion or the idea is that when God uses you, the Lord use you, right? The Lord use you. The notion is that you and God have a good relationship. This is false. This is false, people. The Lord will utilize you to do what he wants if you're open to it. But it don't mean you spending time the way you should with him. Imagine the things that you can do that the Lord chooses not to do with you because y'all are not at that level just yet. Imagine what your abilities, quote unquote, actually are versus what you're doing, because some people sell themselves short. They like, yeah, the Lord gave me a word for such and such, and he told me that they need to eat this or this or that to heal. But the Lord didn't give you the ability to put your hands on the person and heal them. He didn't give you that ability. You want to know why? Because you ain't there yet. Peter was right. Paul was so right there with God. He was so right there with God that just like Jesus, when Mary Magdalene touched the hem of the garment, remember? And he said, who touched me? Just the hem of the garment. And I said, Paul was so much like that. His shadow was healing folks. The shadow.
Come on now.
The shadow.
Come on now.
He walking by folks and his shadow doing it. He ain't even doing. God is working through that man so heavy that his shadow is just going off doing this, what it's supposed, because that's how God is. So you have to then challenge yourself to say, how do I get to that? I would read the Bible and I would read about Paul or David, and I would read about David and David, you know, his ways with women. I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Like, the word literally gives you the opportunity to read it and talk to God right there and say, I don't want to be that way. Lord, I don't want to be like Lot's wife. Lord, I don't want to be like Lot. Lord, I want to have the faith of Abraham, but I also want to not make foolish decisions or choices. Lord, I don't want to be like Moses in this situation. You got me? So if he gives you the blueprint, and he shows you, look what Paul was doing. You do that. You spread the word. You give yourself over to me and you study that word. Not so you can go out here and be a lethal tongue lasher towards everybody who don't speak right or don't say this right or don't do this according to the word of God. And you got to go to folks and tell them how much of a Christian you are because you know Leviticus 3:7. Like, come on, man. Like, it's tiring. It's so tiring, because the moment I meet another Christian, and this is letting me know that I have come so far, I meet another Christian in the wild. I always say Christians, we meet in the wild, right? We meet in the wild. So the moment I meet another Christian, they begin to have the conversation with me battling the word or trying to show me how much they know, I know that they're not where they need to be with God.
Come on. Because
I'm like, you don't have nothing to prove to me. I'm not the one that's going to say yes or no to your entry.
Your walk is your walk.
Your walk is yours, sweetheart. Or my brother, your walk is yours. You ain't got nothing to prove here. Now, we can discuss the word and help you. The goal is we should be lifting one another up. If there's something I know, you don't need to flex your knowledge. You say, hey, man, so where I learned this, you know, in the word where it talks about A, B, C, D, and E, and this is the chapter, this is the verse. I read this book as well. I saw this as well. And share it with that person to help them, because your goal should be what? Once you make it up there to see that brother and sister again, be like, man, it was so good. Man, remember we saw each other. And you there together. You in paradise together, man.
Come on now.
Instead of trying to flex your hand, stop. Stop it. We're supposed to be, even in this moment, as we're talking about our journey, as you hear what we're talking about, not only are we reflecting on the journey, but we're also tying it into, this is still happening today. Our journey ain't over. And this also goes to show what I'm going to be quiet, but this also goes to show what the word talks about, how our life is but a gust of wind. America and I just gave you a span of time in our life that y'all would say, man, that's a long time. And God looking at me, looking at us like that was just 2 minutes. That was just 2 minutes of life. That was nothing. That was nothing. And then when you look at people's life and you look at your life, if you're an older person, if you're in your 30s, 40s right now, think back 10 years, 20 years, and you'll realize, man, time truly does fly. I can't remember every day. I can't remember every moment. I can't remember everything. I can't. If you say, what were you doing this day 2 years ago, same day, and I'd be like, I have no idea. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you what I was doing today on Cinco de Mayo. Can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. So, I digress.
So, I'll say to all of that, because you talked about a lot there, and I want to make sure we understand, because I was taking it all in, but there is a capacity level for every person. And I was grabbing my water bottle to take a drink, but it reminds me that I was just doing a talk at a conference about the capacity level of children to understand certain information. There's a certain capacity of information that people understand. I can't be angry at somebody else being on a different part of their walk because their capacity level is different from mine. And my walk is my walk. So, and I'm going to say, like I told my daughter, don't get frustrated if somebody doesn't understand something that you may already have knowledge of. You keep walking. You keep journeying and modeling the way that God has told you to model, because that's going to illuminate things for other people to say, well, how did they get to where they are now? Why is it that they have that peace and that freedom and that joy and that truth? They're going to start asking you those questions, and then it will be time for you to help them have a little more understanding. They're open. So you see, there's more of a capacity to contain that knowledge. Right now, my bottle is half full. So there's only so much that I could fill in until it's full, and it can max level understanding. And sometimes I think we try to pour all the stuff into people, and we want them to get to a certain level. We want them to be completely full, and they're not ready for that because they have other things that they're trying to empty out. Wait till a person is open, empty, and ready to receive. Pray for them and ask for God to give you the right time to go to them when you see things that needed to be correct. But the entire, I'll say, theme of this episode is acting on God's timing. Don't miss the opportunities when he's telling you to do something. So if you don't mind, Milton, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would help us to understand the capacity of each other and understand you in the midst of the situation and follow your voice clearly. Father, take out self, take out unrighteousness, unholiness, and evil thoughts, Father God, take out flesh. And we ask for your spirit to pour out upon us so that we may walk truly in spirit and in truth as we deal with each other in the body of Christ, as we go to church, as we go to work, as we deal with each other in our families and in our households. Let it be your spirit of truth that overtalks everything. Let everything in us be your truth, Father God. Everything that comes out of our heart be your love, your grace, your mercy, your correction, your goodness. Father God, it may not be the things people want to hear, but let it be your voice that they hear. And Father, as we are seeking things from you, healing, deliverance, freedom, Father, we ask that it be granted in your timing, not when we want it, but when it needs to happen, and that we walk in that. We walk in that truth for ourselves and for the freedom of our family and loved ones and people that are supposed to see the journey. We thank you, Father God, for the journey that you have placed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for every opportunity we have to come closer to you. And for every listener that has listened to this and watched this on every platform, we ask, Father, that you would give them now, in their own understanding, who you are, so they may walk into your truth. Let them hear this word. Let them know who you are. But let them begin to speak and talk to you clearly and hear your voice clearly and walk according to your will with complete understanding at the capacity that you have placed on them. We thank you, Father, right now for each and every word that has been brought forth, that has been planted. And Father, we just ask that your love be the seed that grows. Father, we thank you for Milton and myself. You know that we have been facing a lot of things. So I just ask for your covering, your protection to continue us on going forward so that we may do your will according to your word and your timing. anything in us, Father God, that is not like you, remove it. Anything that is trying to come against us from clearly doing your word and walking with intentionality, we come against it right now. And we speak that your will shall be done in our lives, and it will produce effectual change for our families, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Lord, we thank you. So listen, y'all, man, we definitely appreciate y'all tapping in with us on this week 30 as we took reflections, came back, came to right now, took it around the world, and now we ended with prayer. But not just that, we begin it with prayer as well. We always pray prior to these as well. So just to let you all know that we're walking in with God and we walk out with God. We take God everywhere we go. And I pray that y'all do the very same thing. Now, get ready for week 31, where it's called Empowered Living. Activate your calling with the power of the Spirit. So we're going to dive into the factor of activating your calling with the power of the Spirit. And the only way to do that is to activate, okay? Action, right? And did you also know, then when we talk about action, you can't exclude speaking. So when it talks about your call, speaking things that are not as if they are, you got to speak to that call, and you got to speak to where you're headed, and you got to speak to the fact that, hey, God called me to be here. So y'all can talk about me how you want to. I'm supposed to be up in this thing, but let's get it. I love y'all. God bless you guys. And most of all, peace, love, and chicken grease. Go tell somebody in your family that you love them who you haven't told in forever. And make sure you take time to tell yourself the same thing. Look yourself in the mirror tonight. Look yourself in the eye. And if you can't say it, spend some time with God and ask him to get back to the point and get you to the point in your heart and your mind where you love yourself 120,000%. Much love, y'all. Peace.